All right, this is Dr. Letitia Wright, and we are having our next podcast. Today, our guest is David Steele. He's the author of the book called Conscious Dating, Finding the Love of Your Life in Today's World. As a relationship coach, he helps singles find the love of their life and helps couples live happily ever after. He's the founder of the Relationship Coaching Institute, and his mission is to help singles and couples have a healthy relationship. Welcome to the IDC Dating Podcast.
Hi, Dr. Wright. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited about the book, Conscious Dating, Finding the Love of Your Life in Today's World. You talk about the mystery of relationships. What exactly do you mean?
Well, what I mean is that most people seem to be confused about how relationships work. You know, we all want a relationship. It's one of our highest goals and priorities. And half of us or more get divorced, and none of us want to. We don't start off wanting to get divorced. And there seems to be a lot of confusion and mystery about how relationships work and how to find somebody. And, you know, nowadays the cohabitation rate has increased by over 1,000% in the past 30 years. And I think people are living together because they're afraid of commitment nowadays. They don't want to fail. They see the divorce rate, and they're just confused about how to make it all work and be successful.
In your opinion, does the cohabitation in the end help people know whether or not that relationship is going to work, or do you think that it's not really helpful?
Well, you don't have to rely on my opinion, because the research shows clearly the cohabitation rate, the failure rate of cohabitation, is far higher than the divorce rate. So people that live together first have a higher likelihood of getting divorced and have much higher likelihood of breaking up than people that go ahead and get married. So people think they're minimizing risk when they live together. Actually, it's increasing risk. The research is showing this.
Wow. Okay. You also talk to everyone about being more in tune with who we are and who we really want. Most people probably think they know who they are, but what are you saying on that?
Well, it's kind of like the iceberg. You know, 10% is showing above the surface, and the rest of it is below the surface. And what I've found is that our success depends upon getting to know that 90% underneath the surface. Most singles have their list, and not everything on that list is equal. Some are requirements, some are needs, and some are wants. And we got to know our requirements, and we got to know all of them, because there are non-negotiables. If one is missing, the relationship won't work. And I don't know about you, but I've gotten involved in relationships and then discovered later that there was something hugely important that wasn't working, and I didn't know it before. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it be nice to be clear and conscious about what that stuff is going in and make a relationship choice aligned with that?
That's great. That's really important. Now, are there exercises that you help people with to really get down to those needs, wants, and requirements?
Right. I have very, very specific technology and exercises for how you can take, you know, how you can start with your list, right? Every single has their list. Mm-hmm. How you can start with your list and start breaking it down into what's required and what do I need to be happy? You know, those are what needs are. You know, in order to be happy, your needs must be met. But they're not necessarily relationship breakers. They're just the difference between happiness and unhappiness. And then the wants are the icing on the cake. You know, it would be nice and it's enjoyable and it's pleasurable, but they're not relationship breakers either. And most people, you know, if you don't think about it this way, you might make a relationship choice based on your wants, like somebody to have fun with, but then is somebody that you have fun with, is that a good partner choice for the long term?
Okay, and so without really understanding your list, then you just can't make a good choice for yourself. You're just making the choice for right this second, I guess.
Right, and so the challenge is, you know, how can we better know ourselves? How can we be fully conscious? And truthfully, it's impossible to be fully conscious, but we certainly can be more conscious. And one way to start is by looking at your relationship history. You know, just make a list of all the relationships that you've had that have broken up in the past, you know, that you're not with them anymore. Well, why? What broke the relationship up? Chances are there's a requirement or two or three related to that. And so that's a good clue about what some of your requirements might be. And then we have things like a vision, you know, of what we really want for our life that we're trying to make real. And then we have a purpose, like, you know, what we want to do with our life. And our relationships have to align with all of that. So the clearer we are about that, the better choice we make in a partner, the easier it is to make it work.
Very good. Okay, that's really important for our listeners to really take down and embrace. Now, one of the principles you talk about in conscious dating is being a chooser. I think everybody kind of thinks they're a chooser, but what do you mean by that?
Oh, well, actually, in my seminars for singles, you know, I talk about a lot of things. I talk about vision and purpose and requirements, needs, and wants and being conscious. And I talk about the 14 dating traps. And I talk about the 10 principles of conscious dating. And out of all these things in my book and on my CD program and in my seminars, the thing that stands out the most, the thing that I've heard the most feedback about, is the idea of being the chooser. This is challenging for most singles. They're maybe a bit shy, maybe a bit scared. You know, we would like it if somebody chose us. And we tend to get into a pattern of reactiveness in our life. And it takes a little bit of forethought and a little bit of initiation and planning to be the chooser, to you be the one that takes the action. Like, for example, wouldn't it be great if there's somebody that you meet that you're attractive to? Let's say it's somebody you meet at the grocery store or the post office or, you know, at a class you're attending. Wouldn't it be great for you to choose them and go up to them and initiate a conversation and say hi and get to know them and see if they're single? But a lot of singles are scared to death of this.
Right, right.
So the idea of being the chooser has just captured the imagination of singles. And so I have very, very specific technology and ideas and strategies for how singles can be the chooser, how you can approach somebody that you're attracted to that you don't even know yet, and how you can, you know, say no to what you don't want in order to say yes to what you do want. And that's a definition, my definition of assertiveness. That's part of being the chooser as well.
Okay. I know a lot of single women are kind of afraid to say no to someone who approaches them because, you know, they feel like, oh, I better take what comes along. And clearly you don't subscribe to that.
Oh, yes. I call that the scarcity trap. And, you know, if we're alone and we're interested in somebody and somebody is interested in us, we get excited and say, oh, boy, I don't have to be alone anymore. And our fantasies start going like, oh, boy, and we're going to get together and live happily ever after. And we really want to make it work, right? We want to fit the round peg in the square hole. You know, we want to fill that slot. We want to realize our dreams. You know, that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned in my own personal life and working with my clients that, you know, you just can't take, you know, somebody you're attracted to or somebody that's interested in you and have them fill that slot. There has to be enough alignment. There has to be enough to work with over the long term. So saying no to what you don't want, being the chooser is critical, because chances are somebody that's attracted to you and wants to be with you isn't necessarily good for you in the long term. There has to be a mutual alignment. So it's just essential, but it's the scariest thing for a lot of singles, but it's very, very doable. We just need a few little tools and strategies for how to do that.
Now, do some people feel that that's not romantic because, you know, it's like they're going through an evaluation?
Yeah. You know, and there's other thing that called the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was a therapist for a lot of years, and I never heard of the law of attraction until I got into coaching. And coaches, that's almost all they talk about, the law of attraction. And at first it sounded kind of, you know, new agey to me, you know, like, well, that law of attraction. And what it means is what's inside shows up on the outside. And what you put your attention to, that's where your energy goes. That ends up what happens in your life. So if you have a positive mindset, if you have a mindset of abundance, like I'm a wonderful person and all the resources and opportunities that I need and want in my life will come to me, the law of attraction will help you. If you're coming from fear, oh my God, I'm single, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life, and oh, here's this person who's interested in me, I better take what I can get or I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. Well, the law of attraction is going to work against you. It's going to be real because you think it's real.
Okay. I want to ask you, what is the best way to balance our heart with our head?
Well, you know, we get attracted to people, and we have all these hormones in our body that, you know, make us feel very, very excited. And this is good information. I think it's useful information to go ahead and pursue somebody that you're attracted to. And it doesn't work if you're not attracted to somebody. Really, there has to be chemistry. However, there also has to be an alignment of vision and purpose. So this is what I mean by balance your heart with your head. You know, pursue somebody, get involved with somebody you're definitely attracted to. There's the chemistry there. And make sure that all your requirements are met, because the strongest chemistry in the world is not enough to make the relationship work long term. It has to be both heart and head, chemistry and requirements.
Wonderful. Chemistry and requirements. That's going to be our watchword for today. Yeah. Tell us what it takes to be a successful single.
Probably the most important feature of a successful single is being happy while you're single. And if you don't really want to be single, that might be counterintuitive to you. But the law of attraction is very real. It's kind of like a law of the universe, like gravity. You know, I've discovered that it's really a powerful thing. And if you're not happy being single, then your relationships aren't going to be happy either. So it's our job as singles to have the best life possible for us. Live our vision while we're single. And then the law of attraction will help us, and we'll find a life partner that's aligned with us. And trust me, you know, if you want a relationship, you're not going to be alone for the rest of your life. Relationships happen anyway. You know, we're social beings. This is what we do. So don't let your fears prevent you from being happy while you're single.
So singles need to find, even if they're not happy about necessarily being single, they need to find other things in their lives to be happy and grateful about.
Right. And for example, you know, it's important to get your social and emotional needs met while you're single. So this is where your community comes in, your friends and your family, and, you know, have lots of people in your life so that you don't feel alone and you feel like, hey, you know what, I'm happy and I'm loved and I have lots of great people in my life, and it would be fine if I were single for the rest of my life. It's that kind of surrendering that tends to just bring the person you most want in your life. You know, it just makes it happen. I found this myself. There's a certain amount of surrender that's necessary. When we get too attached to a goal, we make it go farther away. It's like if you want to make $1 million and you focus on money, that $1 million is going to get farther and farther away. But if you focus on what you love, doing what you love, then sure, you might make $1 million, but you're going to be happy in the process. Similar to finding your life partner, you know, be happy and have the life you really want, and the life partner that you want will come into your life, and you'll find them. You know, the movie Field of Dreams, mm-hmm. I love the quote, if you build it, they will come.
So if you build a peaceful, loving self, someone will come.
Absolutely. The law of attraction will help you. But it's not going to work if you're home alone all by yourself. You definitely have to get out there and live the life that you really want while you're single.
Exactly. One more question. You tell people to make a dating plan. I've never heard of that before. What's a dating plan?
Well, a dating plan means that you start with, you know, you begin with the end in mind. So if what you want is a certain lifestyle, a certain life, a certain kind of partner in your life, a certain relationship, you know, what does that look like? Who are you and what do you want? And then you're going to plan your life and your activities in order to make that happen. So we already talked about your vision and your purpose and, you know, living the life you want while you're single. So, for example, you know, me, I'm a coach and I'm a therapist, and I find that I have very little in common with people, with women, for example, that aren't in the helping profession in some way. You know, if they're data entry operators at some big corporation, they might be fun, but they're not life partner material.
Okay.
So where am I going to find somebody aligned with me? You know, I might find them in my professional association. You know, it's going to be somebody who's a social worker, a therapist, or a coach, or somebody like that. So my plan would involve, you know, being around those kinds of people and, you know, looking for that kind of person in my life. So it's more focused. I'm not just going to be surfing the internet randomly for anybody that will return my emails.
Okay. That's very, very important. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. It is so great talking to you. And this is some wonderful information.
Well, thank you, Dr. Wright, for having me. And anybody interested in more information about me or my book or conscious dating can go to www.consciousdating.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And again, this has been IDCDating.com's podcast, and we were talking about really chemistry and requirements. ICD Dating Podcast, well, ICDDating.com is creating multicultural relationships every day, and you can visit us on the web at www.idcdating.com, and we'll also have all of our guest information and links there so that you can follow up. Thanks for being with us, and remember, ignoring what's conscious is neither safe nor right.